you, church. You made it. It's good to see you. I just want you to know we are praying for a lot of families in our church, actually, that were evacuated last night or, you know, had questions over their home or just a lot of smog and, you know, gunk in the air. If you are feeling it this morning, we're going to keep our service right on time. Really, anywhere you go in the Shire is going to be a bit smoky, isn't it? But it is fantastic to see you. And we just want to really honour a lot of the emergency services that were worked through the night, including our very own Brett Johnson, actually, who's been out all night and then I think he had a small break and then he's out again this morning. So we've got amazing people. Can I just say too, one of the most, I think, incredible things that comes out of, you know, situations like this is just the love of our church. Can I just say, as a pastor, I got so many texts last night, firstly saying we have a home available. I had board members texting me. I had members of our congregation and various ones just saying, we've got spare rooms, we've got spare beds, we've got meals, we've got anything that people might need in the church. And we were just flushed with options. And you might have seen straight away an Instagram go up and just say there was homes open, right? That is just the love and initiative of Horizon Church people. So can I just say thank you? Yeah, come on, why not? Thank you for being the family of God to people. It's just incredible. It's these things are not fun, but they really highlight the best in our church, I believe. So it is our all-in Sunday. I'm not bothered if your kids are a bit enthusiastic. In fact, I love it. And you probably watched us dealing with our own family fiasco over there. Ollie had his first communion. It wasn't ceremonial, but he had it. And we've always got babies and we've got our friends Mona and Andrew over there. Andrew didn't do an incredible job leading us. And he will now look to the ground and go, all credit to Jesus Christ. And he is that kind of guy. It's all glory to God. But, I just love it. We have the most incredible people in our church coming up, ministering, serving us. And I can guarantee that Andrew prayed over that. He prayed for individuals. He prayed for your healing as you receive communion this morning. And I want to honour both Mona and Andrew in the life of our church. Andrew is currently sitting in with our board. And Mona and Andrew have actually just started a family life group, and I was saying to our staff this morning, like, one of their predominant gifts is a gift of faith, and they're already setting ablaze hearts in their life group. So thank you for all you're doing. We love you guys. Pastor Brad is like, gosh, announcement central, but these are all important things that I know that you're wondering about anyway, so I may as well just share the news, right? Pastor Brad is actually preaching this morning at Sydney Sydney Worship Centre, something like that. Okay, thank you. Yeah, Marcel's Church, Pastor Marcel's Church, really significant church, predominantly Asian actually, and he's just imparting there. He actually preached this week at a state event, and can I just say, in the words of others, he literally brought the house down and had key leaders just coming to him for wisdom and conversations to speak into their unique situations, and he's just that kind of pastor, isn't he, that he is wanting to just bless and impart and lift the body of Christ wherever it is. And so Brad and Ellie will be back with us this evening, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be a great evening. Tim is going to be preaching, and I love our team. I cannot be more proud of our team at the moment. We have an incredible team. You know, one might get sick, another steps in and just gives a 5-star effort. Pastor Deb this morning over our tithes and offerings, just encouraging us and pastoring us. And Tim will be preaching tonight, and he is just full of the Holy Ghost and has such a revelation of leading people to Christ. So it's a great night to bring friends tonight. It's going to just be fantastic. So you're going to love it. This year, as Deb mentioned, we have been exploring Matthew 16, and I am going to read the key passage again. So let's have a look. Matthew 16, 18, and many could say it off by heart now. And it really is that journey of knowing our name and knowing who our Savior is and therefore knowing who we are. And it says, he pressed them and how about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter said, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus came back. God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on the secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you really are, who you are, who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which, the rock of Revelation that is, on which I'll put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. Amazing, right? And last week, we just began a brief two-week series called In the Doorway to Destiny. And it was really around this idea and is around this idea that, yes, Jesus called Peter by name, but there was a process. And in fact, God sees you in your destiny. I love it when the prophet Jeremiah, God prophesies over Jeremiah and says, before you were in the womb, I knew you and I called you to be a prophet to the nations. And do you know what? He may not say those specific words over you, prophet to the nations, but he's going to say to you, before you were in the womb, I knew you and I called you to dot, 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 dot. And for every individual, no matter how you were conceived, whether there was questions over your parenthood, whether there was questions over your identity, whether you had a shady past, whether there was whatever your life circumstances are, it remains the same. The God of the universe says over you, before you were in the womb, I knew you, I called you to dot, dot, dot. But there then is this process because he sees us in our destiny. And then he walks us there, doesn't he? Who likes the journey? You know, Jesus took Peter from the limitations of his natural identity and made him something. He took him from small thinking and rash impulses, because he was an emotional kind of guy, to the man who was one of the key players of the New Testament, and his words still speak today, his anointed words, inspired words speak today. And he became a man who later in the New Testament, from being someone who was wavering in their sense of identity and bound to the limitations of he was just son of somebody in some insignificant town and some insignificant fisherman, to be a man who later in 1 Peter could stand up and say in a resolute way, I am Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Such is the transformation journey. And can I just say, it did take a process, and it was an intense three-year period that we get a window into with Peter. And it was not something that necessarily looked perfect and pleasant. In fact, it felt at times, I'm sure for Peter, and maybe for us in that process, like a place that can be tight and constrictive, and maybe sometimes there's a sense of pain and failure associated with that process. And maybe it's two steps forward, one step back, and it feels like progress is hampered. And yet, if Peter could speak English and he was a time traveler and came to us today, he would probably say to you, why don't you just grow as you go? Don't worry about the process. Don't worry if it looks a bit imperfect and a bit rough at times. Just commit to grow as you go. And you know what? Always face forward. No matter how constrictive, or maybe, you know, you are stuck in that doorway and it feels like you're framed about, and the temptation is to turn back where maybe it wasn't perfect, but it was known. Maybe it was a little bit like they were like in Egypt. You know, the onions and the leeks and the garlic was awesome. The slavery wasn't, but we could probably put up with that a bit more, because at least that's better than an unknown future. And yet, Peter would say, face forward. Don't look back. Don't worry about what is behind you. Just keep facing forward into your destiny. And he would tell you those things. But there is something I want to talk about today, about Peter himself. So we talked about the approach of how to be in that doorway to destiny, but I actually want to look beyond the principles now to actually the person and look at what he demonstrates about how to navigate, because there is something about him that is in Scripture, and Scripture narrates it repeatedly. And when things are repeated, you kind of get a sense that maybe it's important. Maybe there's a flag above it saying, look, pay attention to this, because this will encourage you. Pay attention to this, because there is something in this that, even though it was 2,000 years ago, is applicable today. Because repeatedly it's narrated by Peter and him and only him. Actually, if you look at the journey of the other disciples, it's not really characteristic of them. There are other things, and I love that about the Word of God, that it is kind of an everyman word, really, isn't it? Like, we can see some of ourselves in something, somewhere, and if you don't see yourself fully in Peter, you may just see yourself in Thomas. Just give me the evidence before I believe, and God having to deal with that propensity. Or maybe you're a John and, you know, you just want to be at the forefront and have your head on Jesus's chest. And the list goes on. But he took a posture. He took an approach that was uniquely his. There was a trait about him that he is known for, and it actually set him apart. And though he was a hot mess most of the time, most of scripture about Peter is maybe not flattering, but maybe God is trying to get our attention and say, you know, it is not about the perfection. It is not about the appearance. It is actually about the posture and the heart. And there is something as he's in that doorway of destiny, that 3 years with Jesus, where he actually, it was something in his imperfection that caused such fruit and such personal expansion and such a powerful outcome that scripture would see fit to record so much of Peter's progress because of it. Why do we get this repeated account of this person that stuffs it up so many times and yet he just keeps on popping up in all the chapters? I mean, if God was a bit more egalitarian, don't you think 12 by X amount of chapters, don't you think he would have split it up fairly? And yet he just, for some reason, goes, no, you just need to hear more of Peter's journey because, you know, somewhere, somehow, this is going to encourage you in your journey of destiny, your journey of expansion, and somewhere you're going to find hope in this. And I want to use a well-known passage this morning, and everything in me is like, I don't really want to use that passage. Isn't it cliche? And I want to use something fancy, but I just feel like it's all in Sunday, and there are kids in this room, and I just want to say, if you're a child in this room, God wants to speak to you too, and maybe he's got me looking at this well-known passage because you know it, and he wants to shed new light on it for you. And also, I think too, it's a picture of Peter's life. And yes, I'm going to do the boat chapter, but you see, I actually feel like this chapter is a metaphor for Peter's life, because though the other stories may not be set in a boat, he absolutely jumped out of the boat so many times. It's just that the boat looked like his mouth and declaration, and the boat looked like a stuff up, and the other boat looked like getting a revelation and stepping out when others didn't. And so I am going to use this story. He spoke up and declared his heart loyalty. He declared revelation that others didn't have, when he could have shrunk back and go, I'll let you go first because I'm just not sure I'm right here. He stepped out anyway. And he was eager to lean in always. He always wanted to be where Jesus was and where Jesus was moving. And though he got it wrong, and though even at the very end of Jesus' earthly ministry, you know, no sooner does he get restored than he says, but what about John? And plays the comparison game. And that's the last we hear of Peter from accounts of Jesus. And I'm like, oh my goodness, please God, I would love that not to be me. But there it is. There is Peter, ready for us to take hope in. And it set him up, his willingness to step out, set him up to have conversations other people didn't get to have, to experience miracles other people didn't get to experience, and to get restorations, grand restorations, that others didn't necessarily get in the same measure. He was not perfect, but he was postured for the promise as he was in the process. He was postured for the promise as he was in the process of being in the door of destiny. And maybe this morning, there's a part of your life where God is saying, step out. Maybe there's a part of your life, and children in this room too, kids in this room, maybe God is asking you to step out this morning. And he's saying, I've got something special for you. Maybe it's something at school. Maybe it's a friend he's asking you to step out with. And at every single stage of life, whether you're one of the children in the room this morning or whether you're one of our more mature Horizon Church family, at every stage, there is a choice to move forward in the purposes of God. And I don't want you to get the picture I'm always talking about some grand thing. You know, it may not be that God is calling you to start a ministry. He may actually be just calling you to trust him with an elderly parent who is dying. Maybe he's asking you to keep a faith confession in the midst of a financial situation that does not look like it's very faith-filled at all. Maybe he's asking you not to go to the other side of the world, but just to go and get to know your neighbour and invite them to church. Maybe he's working on a part of your heart that loves certainty and will not actually step outside of that box with God to try something and trust him if you don't know the outcome. In every stage of life, we have a choice to move forward or remain tethered to our past, unwilling to step into what's next. Stay where it's comfortable. Moving forward requires a risk and a stepping out in faith. And yet it almost certainly, can I say, comes with risks and setbacks attached at times. It does. And yet the doorway to destiny is a transition place from the known to the unknown, and it requires steps of faith to move us to that place of expansive promise. In that doorway, you actually are required by God to take steps sometimes of uncertain faith. Although faith is the evidence of, it is being sure of what we hope for, evidence of things not seen, there still is aspects of taking that step that are uncertain. And yet God calls us to it. Earlier in the year, we had a lady called Vicky Simpson who is a prophet. And if you're new to the things of God or you're new in the church, we just believe that there is a gift today that can reside in people where God shows us what his thoughts and plans are toward us. And can I just say, they're positive. And Vicky prophesied over our church that she saw us like a Rubik's Cube. And she said, I don't see it, though, in a perfect square with all the colours lined up. I see it twisted, not in a negative sense, but just configured so that it is not a complete and perfect square, that there are colours everywhere and it looks great. And it's okay that it's just like that. It is a unique configuration for us as a church, and that is perfect for the purposes of God in this hour. And it requires someone to take the risk to be okay with that and to take steps of faith and to go first. And it requires maybe a child at school standing up for what is right when it's really easy, when everyone else is in your class and they're standing up for something that is hurtful and wrong against someone else. Maybe it's inviting one of your friends to Horizon Kids. Maybe it's being comfortable with uncertainty so that God can break into your world. But can I just say, with Peter and with us, it is all centered on Jesus Christ. And as we sang in that song, faithful are his promises, that we don't step out just because, we step out with Jesus because he is faithful. Let's look at the passage. Matthew 14, verse 22 to 32. As soon as the people were fed, he just performed a miracle, Jesus told his disciples to get into their boat and go out to the other side of the lake while he stayed behind to dismiss the people. After the crowds dispersed, Jesus went up to the hill to pray. Can I just say with this, his cousin had just died. John the Baptist had just been executed. He had just been preaching and teaching and performing miracles. Can I just say, he's probably depleted and he's just like us. If you had been through those things, your spirit may feel depleted. Your soul may be depleted. In every chapter and verse, there is something for you. And can I just say, like Jesus, get away with the Father. If that is how you're feeling at the moment, if you're feeling weary at the moment, if you're going through some stuff, if you have a relative that is struggling and you are like, I am depleted, can I encourage you? Don't run to Netflix. It is great for an hour sometime in the day, but as your primary source of refreshment, don't go there. Go to the Father. Go to the Father. Get up an hour earlier. Go to bed an hour later, but be with him, be in him, and he will refresh your soul, Psalm 23 says. And I feel that there probably are some today that are weary and longing for refreshment, and you will find it in the Father the same way Jesus did, because in every possible way, Jesus was a human just like us, fully God, fully man, and he suspended his divine powers and was fully man and needed refreshing. So a little human moment there. He went up to the hills to pray because he needed it. And as night fell, he was there praying alone with God. It's such a key. But the disciples, who were now in the middle of the lake, ran into trouble, for their boat was tossed about by the high winds and heavy seas. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the waves. Whoa. When the disciples saw him walking on top of the water, they were terrified and screamed, "A ghost!" Then Jesus said, "Be brave, man up. And don't be afraid, I'm here." Peter shouted out, "Lord, if it's really you, then have me join you on the water." I'm like 10 points to Peter. They're all freaking out. And he's like, "If it's you, call me. Come and join me," Jesus replied. So Peter stepped out into the water and began to walk towards Jesus. But when he realized how high the waves were, he became frightened and started to sink. "Save me, Lord," he cried out. Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and lifted him up and said, "What little faith you have. Why did you let doubt win? Why did you let doubt win in that moment?" And the very moment they both stepped into the boat, the raging wind ceased. Then all the disciples crouched down before him and worshipped Jesus. They said in adoration, "You are truly the Son of God." Can I make some observations about Peter this morning in this little episode? And can I just say, if this story is familiar to you, and most people in this room will be familiar with this story, can you park your familiarity for 5 minutes and allow God to give you fresh revelation on an ancient story? The first thought is, he stepped out because of Jesus and discovered more of Jesus. He stepped out because of Jesus and discovered more of Jesus. I am an English literature student, as Sophia McDonnell is, and she is doing an amazing extension English project at the moment, which blows me away. But I learned in my studies not to make a wrong emphasis in the text. Don't wrongly emphasize something in a text. Here we have a text in a story of a man, and it's almost as if it's the story of Peter sinking. Do you get that sense that so often as this story is recounted, it's the story of Peter sinking? But can I just say, as someone studying the text, don't make the plot complication the theme. The fact is, let me tell the story. Peter stepped out because it was Jesus. Peter stepped out on water because it was Jesus. Go figure. He sank when he had a moment of doubt, a moment of doubt. He had a moment of doubt in a story of faith. Peter had a moment of doubt in a story of faith. He stepped out on the water, the surface of the water, because it was Jesus, and had a moment of doubt, but was lifted when he called out to Jesus. So it starts with Jesus. He had a moment of doubt. He yells out to Jesus, and it ends with Jesus. And immediately Jesus lifts Peter up. The plunge of doubt was not a failure. It was actually an indicator of the parameters of Peter's faith. And Jesus lifted him to a new level of faith. It was not a declaration of failure in Peter's life. It was a moment of doubt that showed him where the parameters were. And Jesus extended the parameters of faith. Can I just say, before he stepped out, Peter didn't calculate the surface tension of the water and the meniscus for all the science people, and he didn't calculate the density of the water and the salt content, would he float? He didn't calculate the temperature and do I need a wetsuit? He didn't sit there wondering any of those things. It was enough for him to know Jesus was there, and therefore I'll step out. Can I just say, when I started in ministry, and working in the local church is not everyone's call. In fact, more are called to the high call of working in the marketplace and ministering powerfully there than they are in the church. But I count it an honor to work in the church. And I knew for a long time that Jesus had called me to work in the local church or some sort of ministry context, be it missions and so forth. And I remember in 2005, I had a secure teaching job. I'd been promoted. And I was having a great time at school teaching and loving life and so forth. And at the beginning of that fifth year of teaching, God spoke to me and said, by the end of this year, you're going to resign because I'm opening a door of opportunity for you. By August that year, I listened to him. I heard his word. It was so clear to me. It was not audible. He spoke to my spirit and confirmed now is the time to start moving forward, to take a step of faith. He didn't tell me what the ministry opportunity was. He didn't tell me what the next 5 years would entail. He just said, by the end of this year, I want you to take a step of faith and it's time to resign. And in August, I tendered my resignation. And then about a month later, I was given a door of volunteer ministry with a couple called Kath and Grant, and some of you may remember them. And I was invited into a volunteer role, and in faith I walked through the door. Can I just say, I didn't ask how it would all work over the next 5 years. I didn't ask God in my late 20s, how does this stack up financially? I didn't ask him, will this progress to an ordained ministry role? Because if it doesn't, oh, that's okay. Guys, we might just all look here and just allow that mum to take care of her beautiful boy. He's just had a little trip. He's absolutely okay, but he's probably really embarrassed. So we might just look this way. Doesn't your heart just go out when that happens? It's just like, oh man. All that to say, I didn't calculate what God was calling me to. I said yes to a clear word from God in faith. And can I just say, don't be afraid to step out because you will find him in the stepping out. Can I just say, have I had moments of doubt where I wanted to quit? Maybe even had conversations of resignation. Have I had moments where, God, I don't actually know how this all fits and how this all comes together? I have had all of that. I could tell you a story for every one of those things. But can I just say, I found him in the stepping out. Peter found Jesus in the stepping out on the water, in the hitting the parameters of his faith, and in Jesus lifting him up to a new level of faith. I don't think any other disciple in that boat had that moment because nobody but Peter stepped out. They may not have sunk, but they didn't walk on water and they were not lifted to a new level of faith either. Can I encourage you this morning, church? Find him in the stepping out. Second observation is his stepping out actually impacted others. His stepping out had a massive impact on others. Matthew 14, 32 to 33 says, and the very moment they both, can I just say both? It's very, no biblical word is God is an economist. Every word counts. Both Peter and Jesus got back in that boat and the raging wind ceased. Then all the disciples crouched down before him and worshipped Jesus. And they said in adoration, you truly are the Son of God. Can I just say, Peter may have sunk, but his water walking in faith laid a platform of revelation for Jesus' saving power for every single disciple in that boat that day. Can I just say, he impacted the other disciples. His questions impacted others. His water walking had them all crouching on their knees because of the power of Jesus displayed, not just over the storm, because that only stopped when they got back in the boat, but because Jesus had power to save as he was sinking. Can I just say, his declaration in our key scripture in Matthew 16 this year, his declaration, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. His declaration actually gave a confirmation that all of those disciples heard. You know, maybe they were wondering. Maybe John had the same revelation. Have you ever wondered? Maybe others knew or had an inkling, but he was the only one who stepped out brave enough to say on the basis of a revelation who Jesus was. And as a result, they were all the beneficiaries. They were all beneficiaries of his confirmation. And can I just say too, his restoration at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry when Peter failed so abysmally gives hope to this day for everybody that needs a restoration in Jesus. Even in his restoration, his faith and his response, his stepping out and his faith posture towards Jesus impacted every person and still does to this day. before I was married, my husband and I, we dated, we broke up, we dated, we got engaged. It's a very typical pattern, isn't it? And many, many could say that's been their pattern. Maybe you're a lot more straightforward than me and you just made it to the altar without those blips on the radar. But when we were broken up, I knew in my heart that this relationship was going to marriage and we would get back together and that God was breathing on it and that I could step in faith back into the relationship. But one of my biggest fears in dating was, am I going to be able to fulfill the call of God and my destiny with this man? We're a bit older. If we have children, it's all going to happen very, very quickly. And am I going to be able to fulfill the call of God? And God, in that little period of time where we were broken up, began to sow seeds of faith in my heart about how I could do it all and I was called to do it all at once. And though other people had different revelations and different calls of God on their life, that my life would look like marriage, having kids, doing ministry, all at once. Crazy. And it was going to be fantastic. And I remember that Christmas going to my dad's house in Queensland and dad asked me, what do you want for Christmas, the day before, as dads do. And I said, I want the book. God had laid a book on my heart, secular book actually, Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg. And I want a pink highlighter because when I'm on holidays at your house in Bribie Island and there's nothing to do in Bribie Island, I'm going to, it's a retirement central if you're not familiar with the place. It's got lots of beaches. It's quite nice. I'm going to highlight that book, read it, and enjoy. And that holiday, God planted seeds of faith to me that because Sheryl Sandberg had done it and showed in the book how you could do it, this was going to be a picture of my next 3 years. This is how it's going to happen. Can I also say people like Donna Crouch, Melinda Dwight, all these women that had gone before me and future generations or maybe 10 years, 20 years ahead of me, that they were in God, able to make it work and navigate it. It actually impacted me so much that I was able to take my own steps of faith and shut out the voices of well-meaning people who told me, no, it couldn't be done. You'll need to take 5 years off. And that may be your revelation. And honestly, please be blessed if that is you. You can only walk in the revelation that God has given you. And that is where the breath of God and the anointing of God is. So do what God is saying. But for me, I needed someone to say, to go ahead of me and say, yes, you can do this. Yes, this can be done. Yes, God will anoint this. And it impacted me so, so much. We watch our son now, and you possibly saw him having his first communion up there. He's sitting on Kelly's lap. But just this week, Andrew and I are bold in prayer and worship in our home. We pray aloud. We pray in the car together. We pray in tongues together because we believe in the power of speaking the language of the Holy Spirit. We worship boldly. We talk about the things of God in front of our kids. And I just pop music on in the car, going to pick up Andrew from the station one day. And I looked in the revision mirror and saw Ollie with his hands raised in the back of the car, worshiping, praising Jesus. I went to school a couple of months ago and one of the teachers told me with a smile on her face actually saying, and today he picked up what looked like a microphone and said, praise the Lord. And she said, are you doing what mummy does at work, are you? And I'm like, honestly, your example, whether it's to your children, whether it's to your colleagues, whether it's, and you may never know actually the impact that your stepping out in faith is having on another life. But can I just say, Peter's stepping out in faith impacted those disciples. You know what? On one level, they would have had in their mind, this guy is goofy and irrational and emotional a lot of the time. But I reckon on another level, they're like, I wish I had the faith of Peter. I wish I had it in me to step out, lean in, step up, step out, posture myself for the promises of God. Can I encourage you, never underestimate the impact of you stepping out has on others in your world. And finally, as Jones comes up, his stepping out moved him beyond the mess-ups to know the Messiah. His stepping out moved him beyond the mess-ups to know the Messiah, the Savior Jesus. He didn't let the mess-ups become the end because he stayed long enough to know Jesus in the mess-ups. You know, so many of us, I think, we mess up, whether it's something just you know about, or whether it's been a public mess up, or whether it's been something, a limitation to your faith, or a period of doubt, or a situation you're not sure what to do about. And often what can happen is we go into hibernation in the things of God. You know, I don't want to go to church. People will judge me. I don't want to be in life group. You know, what if they see how messy it really is? I don't want to pray because every time I go to God, I just feel shameful about where things have landed or what I've done or what I'm thinking. Or God, I don't know how you're going to treat my lack of faith in this area. Can I just say, let Peter counsel you today. Why don't you just stay long enough to see him through the mess? Why don't you just lean in a little bit more and step forward a little bit more in him to see what he will do with it? Yes, you know, I love the message of Peter because it is, yes, all the power of God. It is about the agency of Peter, though, the choice of the posture of faith. But in the end, it's what Jesus does with what Peter gives him. It's what Jesus does when he says the wrong thing again. It's what Jesus does in the life of Peter when he steps out in faith, sinks, and Jesus lifts him. It begins with Jesus. Yes, we lean in, and yes, there's mistakes along the way and uncertainties, but it's what Jesus does with that and how he lifts us in faith. You know, I look at the story of the temple tax when, you know, someone comes up to Peter and says, "Does your master pay temple tax?" And Peter presumptuously says, "Of course he does." And Jesus takes Peter aside and actually corrects him and talks him through a few things, but then says, "And let's just go get that fish. See, here's money for you and me to pay the temple tax." And that sense of, if you just stick long enough and if you're willing to have a go and if you're willing to posture yourself in the promise, you'll see Jesus reveal himself in a way others won't see. You'll see the provision of God in a way that others won't see because they didn't stick around long enough to let him do it. If you're willing to go through dropping your pride and maybe getting it wrong sometimes, and yet you stay with him, you'll see stuff that other people don't see. You know, his emotional outbursts, you know, the classic, straight after the passage that's our theme passage actually for this year, you know, and Jesus says to Peter, you know, when Peter emotionally says, "You can't go to the cross, you can't go to death," and Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You don't understand the purposes of God." You know, he's saying to Peter, "This is why I came, to die and rise again." We all remember that passage, don't we? We all remember how he stuffed up and, you know, tried to talk against the purposes of God. But do you know Jesus talks about his death two other times after that? And we don't hear Peter making the same mistake, do we? It's just, we focus in on the one out of three where he just arced up, and Jesus corrected him and changed him so that when Jesus talked about his destiny the next couple of times, Peter is on board. He's like, "Hey, this kills me. This pains my heart. And yet I'm on board with the purposes of God because you've so changed me." Even his denial, even the lowest possible point in Peter's life where he denies the man that his heart was so loyal to, who he said, "I won't deny you." Even when he does, the lowest possible point. And you know, the English translation sanitizes it a lot. He basically sweared his face off and nearly, you know, punched the girl in the face that said, "Weren't you with him?" He really had a flesh out. But even in that, Jesus restores him, and not just to where he was, but a new sense of vision, a new name, a new sense of identity, so that he can say, "I am Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I formerly denied him three times, but now I'm declaring, not only do I believe in him, but I'm his apostle, his mouthpiece." Don't let the failures, the parameters and stuff-ups, the doubts, the uncertainties block you from stepping forward in faith. Don't let the disappointments stop you from believing that he is true to his promises, church. Don't let the setbacks and the shameful moments stop you from walking forward into destiny, hand in hand with Jesus. Can I ask right now, for every head bowed and every eye closed,